Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espion. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgann, that's blogtalkradio.com/pgann, and you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gann@gmail.com. That's goforit.gann@gmail.com. Jeremy?
Hey, Paul.
How you feeling?
Doing, man.
Not too much. Just ready to get down and dirty and busy, talking what we like to do, and let's talk sports.
You sure you don't need to think about it?
No, I don't think so. Nothing to think about,
you,
really.
You don't want to think about where you are in comparison to everybody else and, you know, maybe sit out and
maybe take a day off.
Tweet.
A few days off.
Yeah, take
a camp,
tweet.
Not go to practice. We're talking about practice, right?
Well, you know, we're not. Well, we have.
Not the game. So we're going to be talking about practice, and speaking of practice, looks like Darrell Revis wants a lot of money so he can buy his own island. Get it? Revis Island. Darrell buying his island. Money. Anyway, Darrell Revis now is in a situation where he wants a new deal, and he has decided to sit out. Revis did not show up to Jets camp. He is officially a holdout. He will be fined $16,000 a day for every day that he misses. So,
so if he misses the whole camp and he gets his 50 mil, Paul, is it worth it?
Sure. Sure. I mean, ultimately, Darrell Revis will get paid. And when is the question, but he will get paid. I know there was talk of possibly doing what they did for Chris Johnson. Of the Titans, who had a similar situation, a guy who outperformed his contract, a guy who deserved to get paid, quite frankly. And, you know, they paid him a little bit, I think roughly around $2 million. There was talk of possibly doing something like that, a little less than $5 million or something of that number. But, again, Revis's camp has rejected that. Now he wants Nnamdi Asomugha. I can't even say the guy's name. Nnamdi money from the Raiders, the cornerback from the Raiders, highest paid corner in the game. Nnamdi, he wants that money. He wants 15 a month. Nnamdi is making $15 million a year. Revis wants that money, and Revis deserves that money. I mean, he's a better corner than Nnamdi at this stage of their careers. And the guy deserves his money. He deserves to get paid. I mean, they have to do something. You would think, ultimately, something will get done.
Well, I mean, but Paul, like, I guess. I mean, I you and I ultimately agree on the most important point, which is the bottom line is, until everyone, including the owners and the fans and the media, stop giving in to these guys. More power to them for getting what's coming to them, because basically, I mean, all you have to do is sit out and you're guaranteed your money. I mean, it's a proven winner here that if you are a player of Revis's caliber and you don't show up for camp, you're getting your money. It's just a matter of when you're getting it. But to a certain degree, at some level, in some of these sports, especially for football now with the new labor contracts, this is a difficult year to be holding out, because you don't want to be the guy But hear me out, Paul. Really, like you always say, in a contract year, you don't want to have a bad year, or that's the year to have a great year. But in a year where everything could change for a lot of these players, do you want to be the guy that the owners go into the room for and they want to make an example out of? Do you want to be the guy that the Revis rule, where, you know, now these players will have to honor their contracts or play at least, let's say, 80% of their contract out, or like go back to the way it was when you and I were growing up, when there was Plan A and Plan B free agency, and it was really the owners' league. I mean, we're now at the other end of the pendulum where you can have a contract, you can be under contract, and you don't even have to report. And all they do is fine you, but
you gotta. I mean, Darrell Revis has leverage here. He is arguably the best player on their team, and he wants his money. And he's grossly underpaid at this stage of his career.
He's grossly underpaid, but he's
$1 million this year. He's grossly underpaid. I mean,
Paul, he signed a contract.
But I don't care what he signed. And in the NFL, they can cut. You see the figure 6 years, $100 million. But you know, they can get cut at any point. And then the money is dead. It's based a lot of the contracts. A lot of the money on the contracts is essentially dead money. It's money that no one will ever see. But what
okay.
I'm here is a guy like Darrell Revis, he has outperformed his contract, like a Chris Johnson, a guy who has outperformed his contract. And these guys deserve to get paid. And the reality is, in the game of football, one play and it's over. One play and it's over. And so I don't blame any guy who is going to try to get as much money as possible. I don't blame him. You got to look out for yourself. I know you're playing with a team.
But, Paul, you bring up Albert Haynesworth contract, but you're bringing up Albert Haynesworth contract, and you're forgetting, in the first 2 years, you're saying
Let me clarify that. I'm not talking about Haynesworth's contract specifically. I was just throwing an example of a contract out there. Because a lot of times, guys, you look at Haynesworth's contract, it's worth $100 million, but in actuality, he's guaranteed $41 million. He won't see $100 million. But what I'm saying is, you know, when in the NFL, you know, you're here today and going tomorrow. And it's that fast. And just like that, your career is over and you're broke. So, I mean, if a guy like Darrell Revis, as far as I'm concerned, do what you got to do to get paid. And if that means sitting out, then that means sitting out. But ultimately, you have to take care of yourself because your shelf life, average NFL career, is 3.5 years. So
yeah, but Paul, if you're Darrell Revis, are you really thinking this through? I mean, take maybe the hit this year, see what the labor contracts bring, because, again, if you are the guy that causes enough stir, and for example, if he's the player, let's say he holds out and has an injury, renegotiates the guy's contract, now he gets a big payday, has this big injury, and then the owners now are going into an offseason where they can potentially, you know, as I say, they can make one guy their cause, the way a lot of times you hear, you know, teams, the quote-unquote, the bill, never give another team billboard material. Well, if you're Revis here, do you want to be the guy that that the owners take in and they put you as the poster child? Because sure, he may get his $50 million, he may get a huge $25 million sign and bonus or guaranteed money, and then if he gets hurt or under, as you say, he outperformed his contract. What happens this year if he underperforms his contract? I mean, do you want to be the guy where the NFL says this is the reason we have to, in this year, make a stance? Let's have the lockout and let's let these players know that collectively, we're the guys, we're the owners, we own this. We're renting them.
But I think it's a system that favors the owners. The system favors the owners in a lot of ways.
But it should, Paul. Shouldn't any system favor the people that have the most invested in it?
There's some proof to that. I mean, if you're a guy working for McDonald's, obviously your job, it's an extreme example, but obviously you're just taking the money, but you're not really selling the product. The product sells itself. In a lot of ways. I mean, a Big Mac is selling itself. A cheeseburger is selling itself. Fries are selling themselves. But in the NFL, the difference is a lot of times these players are the ones who are, you know, a big reason why the owner is making the money that they're making. But at the same time, I understand where you're going with this. The owners ultimately do deserve to make the most money because they have the most risk in a lot of ways.
I mean, I think you really do want to be careful. This, of all years to be the holdout poster child, this is the dangerous year because as I think about it, the more I look at it, and I do agree, you know, for example, this is a year where you had two players, in Revis and Johnson, where they to an argument could be made, or I could listen, I'll at least be able to, and be honest, and listen to an argument explaining, yeah, they played and played well, and they deserve theoretically what's coming to them. But I do also, I have to admit, Paul, it's kind of, in my opinion, something is to be said about the fact, and, you know, Joe Banner is, I think, one of the guys, and he's local in Philadelphia, where he's made a point to be outspoken about the fact that these players, they sign these contracts. And there has to be some accountability, whether or not he outperformed the contract or not. He did sign it, and at some point, there was no guarantee.
What happens when you underperform with your contract?
Well, that's where we can go in and talk about, you know, player after player who, you know, in all sports are stealing money. But I think, you know, there needs to be, and I'm sure, I do think that Revis could be the guy who spurs these owners into making this a long, hard, dirty offseason for a lot of these players who collectively think, Paul, if Darrell Revis wasn't in the NFL, you'd never have missed him. There'd have been another great cornerback who was better than him. And the same, and you look at any of the players, even Manning, and even Manning and Brady. If Manning and Brady weren't in the NFL, it's only going to be as good as the collective whole. So if they went out and they got the all second tier players, now maybe Jeff Lurie's team isn't going to be worth what was it last week at Forbes, $1.2 billion. They valued his franchise in totality. Now maybe it's not going to be worth that, but certainly the owners are still making money, and the TV rights are still going to be there. But hey, look, arena football is on ESPN, and so is the NFL. And so was all of these.
Arena Ball is on NFL Network now, but who cares about Arena Ball? Who watches Arena Ball?
But people, that's because of the NFL, and that's why I say, Paul. But I'm sure in a lockout year, Arena Ball, if it was played the same season of the NFL, and that has always been proven when any league has been locked out, there has been dramatic issues with ratings, with you know, player owner sentiment, the way, you know, the local fans feel about all this, because they're the ones that are still, you know, they still have to, you know, endure and all of this. But these, I think, long, and I've been saying it, you and I have gone back and forth. I do not believe collectively these players are, in my opinion, as valued as you know, $100 billion with $40 million guaranteed, because you can tackle a person, or because you can shoot a ball, you know, you should be a $100 million player. I mean,
I think that's irrelevant when you talk about this argument, because the reality of it is the market bears what the market bears, and you earn, and you can potentially earn what you can potentially earn.
But at some point, whether
you're a teacher, police officer, lawyer, doctor, what have you. The money is the money, and so in playing in that system, the system of the NFL.
But Paul, let's go to school for a minute. Let's look at the housing market, and over the last 4 to 7 years, see what happened. The housing market just continued every year. The whole, you know, let's look at and make an example of Darrell Revis. Every year the housing market outperformed the next year, and it was low interest rates but high home prices, and people were getting more creative with the way that they were writing mortgages, just as now teams are getting more creative with the way in which they're getting these players all this money. At some point, there needs to be a reconciliation. There needs to be a market adjustment. It happened in the real estate market, and there are a lot of people who now are without homes or who own homes for years and now are renting homes because, hey, they got themselves, and the term is underwater or upside down in a mortgage, and the same could be true in regards to a lot of with regard these teams and these players. These players, the salaries for these leagues in sports. I know the NBA is really the most talked about. They say it's almost 43 to 44% of all, you know, team expenses are just player salaries. And if you think about that, while some people will say, well, gee, I don't think it's really that much, it's not even half, you have to remember, the teams have to get these players places. These teams are paying to put them up. They are not independent contractors. They do not get paid, a guaranteed $40 million over 2 years and have to put themselves up when the teams go away. The teams pay all of that. The teams also have the coaches to pay for, the coaching staff. It's not like it is in certain, in like, for example, in boxing, where the fighter gets a contract for $10 million to fight, but he's got to get himself to the fight. He's got to train himself. He's got to hire his training staff, hire his promoter, hire this and hire that. The player is just getting paid to play. Now the team has to build stadiums, has to have vendors for that, has to, you know, they have to have all of the peripherals, the balls, the uniforms, everything. I think at some level, you know, if I'm Darrell Revis, in the year in which all of this for the NFL has a chance to be on the table, I would not want to be the guy who now, where SportsCenter is in the middle of a brutal August, and you're going to be the guy heading SportsCenter every night.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, but as of right now, the NFL is a multi-billion dollar organization. The money that the NFL and these owners are making is crazy. They're making tons of money on TV, tons of money off of merchandising. I mean, they're making tons of money. And for a lot of these guys, this is not really their main business venture. This is just something they did, something on the side for them. This is not really their biggest money-making business venture. A lot of these guys is something on the side for them. So I understand what you're saying. At some point, the market will just top out at some point. It will top out. Yes, at some point it will top out. But, I mean, a lot of these guys, I mean, if you look at the NBA or Major League Baseball, you see a guy like A-Rod with a $252 million contract. I mean, that's $252 million of guaranteed dollars. I mean, you haven't seen that in the NFL yet. You haven't seen that in the NFL yet. It's probably coming, but you haven't seen it yet. And now so the NFL is kind of last in a lot of ways. I mean, MLB, guaranteed contracts. Basketball, guaranteed contracts. Hockey, guaranteed contracts. So right now, the NFL is behind in that. These players are behind in that. And that's why these guys fight like they do to try to get that type of – to get that big signing bonus money. And so anytime a guy in the National Football League holds out to make more money or attempt to get more money, more power to him. I mean, I'll support you wholeheartedly because tomorrow in the NFL may not be promised at all. I mean, unlike a lot of these other sports, one play really can end it all. One play can end it all. And football is a violent, brutal game. And you hear Mike Ditka and all these guys talking about it now with the Gridiron Gate Greats Foundation, how a lot of these guys are broken down. A lot of these old-timers are broken down, broke and broken down, and having a hard time getting out of bed every morning. I mean, that's a chore for these guys, getting out of bed every morning. So when you talk about the game of football, it's a brutal game, and it takes its toll on your body. So anytime a guy like Darrell Revis, anytime a guy like a Chris Johnson, especially a Chris Johnson who's a running back, I mean, but anytime these guys want to hold out to try to get more money at the time where they can get their money, I mean, they have the most leverage at this stage of their careers. If you got to go get it. You got to go after it. You got to go for it.
Well, you know, Paul, I mean, that's a great pun, and I'm sure, you know, the listeners enjoy that, but to a certain degree, they're going to go for it, but at what expense? And as I say, in where they're drawing the ire of the guy that's writing their check. At the end of the day, I mean, these, as you said, these are strategic businessmen and women who many, if not all of them, have other business entities that, you know, they certainly work with and work for. But now, you know, they have to honor the contracts in which they get into, whether it be for – can Jeff Lurie renegotiate with Aramark? because in his opinion, well, you know what? I'm going to have to go out and pay. I'm going to have to go out and pay in a couple of years to Deshaun Jackson some big bucks.
I'm sure he can find someone else.
But Paul, he can certainly find people. He can find someone else when and only when the contract is up, not when. You know, he just says in 1 year, if they signed a 10-year contract with Aramark, there's a buyout clause in that. It's not where he can say to him, you know what, I'm just not going to pay you. I'm bringing somebody else in, whether you like it or not, which is what Darrell Revis is doing. Darrell Revis is saying, look, for a mere 16 grand a day, which if he holds out for the entire camp, it's like $325,000. I mean, Paul, you even said he's making scheduling like $1 million this year. Still, I mean, that's a third of his salary. Basically, if you hold out, if you hold out, they should bring you to court. You should be in breach of contract, and they should be able to go after the money they paid you in other seasons.
I mean, the Jets need Darrell Revis as much, I guess, as Darrell Revis needs the Jets in terms of financing and money. But if you look at it, there's 30 some odd teams who would love to have a Darrell Revis on their team. So Darrell Revis at this stage of his career has a lot of leverage. As far as I'm concerned, if I'm Darrell Revis, I hold out to try to get the money that I'm rightfully due. Darrell Revis has earned this money. And if Darrell Revis has earned this money, there's no kidding around that as far as I'm concerned. And you would have to acknowledge that Darrell Revis is worth more than $1 million a season, correct?
If he's under contract for that, he might be worth it. But
no,
the problem
is... That's all I asked.
Yes, counselor. Yes, counselor.
Let's ask this question again. For some reason, you're trying to run away from this. Is Darrell Revis worth more than $1 million?
Well, I can answer it like this, Paul. If I really thought about it, now that you were going on and on, he's worth more than that when he's not under contract. So the answer is no. The answer, but you're talking about a value. See, the problem is you want to correlate a value to a contractual obligation. A value is intangible. You can do a business valuation on a team. Forbes puts it out every year. You can put a valuation on what a diamond is worth, whether it has a nice patina or not. Let me let you know that. But there's no, you can't say the diamond with the great patina is going to be worth this. What you can say unequivocally is, look, if there's a contract out there in the futures market to buy diamonds for $1 million and the option is called, you better have $1 million in your bank account. Or you'll be paying a boatload of margin interest. I'm sorry, Paul.
And diamonds and pearls and patinas and shining and all the other beautiful stuff. I'm not a female, so I don't really care about diamonds. So I want to talk about whether or not Darrell Revis is worth more than $1 million. Simple question.
Yeah, I mean, he's worth more than $1 million, Paul. I'll give you that he's worth more than that. But I think you should also say to me, Paul, but at some level, how much then, or then what is the point of a long-term? Why don't all these players then have one-year contracts every year? Because
essentially, that's what they're playing on is one-year contracts.
No, they're not.
Honored by the owners. I can cut you tomorrow, and the money that I'm owed, that's owed to you is done. It's dead money.
Paul, there's plenty. Albert Haynesworth.
Fight like they do for the signing bonuses. They want guaranteed money.
Albert Haynesworth did not sign a 1 year deal. He signed what is essentially a 2 year deal, 2.5 year deal.
Albert could be cut tomorrow.
And Paul, they just paid him in April. They paid him over $9 million.
I'm saying he was out of that $100 million. He was guaranteed $41 million.
So he was playing then for the $41 million comes within 2 points. It's like they were saying the other day. It's like less than 3 years. He gets all that $41 million. So he has a 3 year contract, and that's the point, Paul. Because if they cut him, and you and I both know this, If the Redskins cut him next year or this year, you and I both know he can go out and there's nothing to stop him from renegotiating another $100 million deal with another $41 million guaranteed in another 3-year contract.
No one's going to give him that. No one's going to give him that at this stage of his career, especially after what's going on now. No one's going to give him that. So, I mean, that kind of becomes irrelevant on some level. But listen, I think the question now is, I want to bring it out to the callers now. What are you worth? Are you worth more than what you're making on your job? What are you worth? I want to get your thoughts on that. Many people believe police officers and teachers and firemen and things that the people of those jobs or those caliber deserve more money. So what do you think? You think they deserve money? What do you think? You think you deserve more money? Are you like Darrell Revis? Are you going to sit out? Are you not going to come? I mean, there are strikes. People do have strikes, and so they don't come to work for a little bit until they feel like they get the money that they deserve. So are you going to do a pull with Darrell Revis tomorrow on your job? Are you going to pull with Darrell Revis and not show up until you get paid the money that you deserve?
I wouldn't advocate that.
Call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, and you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. And speaking of Albert Haynesworth, Albert went through the fitness thing again. He's trying to pass this fitness test. And unfortunately for Albert, he cut the test short today. Albert failed again. Albert cut it short today. He had some pain in his knee, so he decided he had to cut it short. The test, if you don't know, it consists of two timed 300-yard back-and-forth shuttle runs performed 3.5 minutes apart. Each back-and-forth sprint is 50 yards. So basically, Haynesworth completed half of it today, complained of some pain in his knee, and he stopped. He shut it down. Jeremy, when does this end?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think at some point they're you know, we talked about this on Saturday, and I think Shanahan's playing a dangerous game here because at some point, look. Yeah, I agree. That's my one saying. At some point, you know, he's gonna really spite himself in that. Pretty much, you make an ass of this guy, and I mean, at some point, you know, he'll pass the test, but it'll be 2 weeks into training camp, and you could have had a guy who would have been on the field and would have maybe produced for you, you know, and you're trying to have a big year offensively, so you're certainly going to need him defensively. Now you're just basically going to make this guy kind of look, say, look, I'll just continue. I'll take the whole all preseason off. Doesn't matter to me because it's pretty obvious no matter what I do, I'm not wanting to be here.
At some point, do you think this guy is almost tanking these tests?
No, I think if
I keep tanking the tests, I miss all this training camp, and I'll pass it when I want to pass it, and then I'll get back into playing football again.
And I think that's
the training camp.
I think that's why I said I don't think he's tanking anymore. I think he's smart. He found himself a very viable short-term excuse, which is the injury. And by the time he has to reconcile any of the stuff with this injury, well, you know, it'll be a little late. I mean, I think that's why I said I think Shanahan, in a way, he's really only hurting himself here. This is pointless. To me,
it's almost like a grudge now at this point. Okay, Albert, I'm Mike Shanahan. You know, I'm bringing in Jim Haslett now. We're starting a new defense. This is a new regime here. Bruce Allen's the GM, and now you how dare you? How dare you not come to minicamp? How dare you not come to any of these OTAs? How dare you? How dare you do that to me? I'm Mike Shanahan, baby. Who do you think you are? I'm Mike Shanahan. And so if you're going to do that, guess what? I got something for you. Let me see a fitness test. And to this point, Albert has not passed it. I mean, is it inexcusable in some respect? I know Albert. He's going to play the nose tackle position, and more than likely, he's not running 50 yards at one time. More than likely, who knows? Maybe gets a pick or scoops up a fumble or something of that nature. But more than likely, that's not happening. So is this fitness test even relevant to what this guy has to do on the football field? Probably not. So to me, it sounds like it's another example of a jilted lover. We may have another example of a jilted lover, and we have seen that a lot in sports recently. I think we may have another example here. What do you think?
You know, Paul, I think there's sometimes you get a little you want the Saban nap to live forever and not the same. I think this is who Shanahan always has been. I mean, if you rock his boat, you know, he's one of them coaches where he likes you to know that he's certainly in charge. He comes in and I mean he puts his mark on a franchise. It's certainly though I can tell you turning it into a little arguing match between a player and a coach. I think he's losing a little bit in terms of, you know, this is silly. There's no conditioning test. No one's going to make me believe every one of these players goes through this stupid conditioning test. I think it's something he dreamed up, and he told everybody in the locker room, unless you want me to make a fool of you, you just sit back and watch me, you know.
Well, nowadays with the whole Corey Stringer thing, these guys are required to pass a fitness test of some nature. And
if they wanted him to pass it, he'd have passed it already.
I would agree with that. I mean, there was talk that he did pass the first part of the test, and then and he was supposed to take a 3.5-minute break, and he ended up taking a 10-minute break. So, I mean, he passed the first part. Instead of taking the 3 minutes that he was supposed to take, he took 10 minutes. So now he basically messed it all up for him, and he had to do it again. But ultimately, like I said, the guy is not going to run 50 yards all season. He may barely run 50 yards all season. So, you know, obviously he's probably run a little bit more than 50 yards, but again, he's a nose tackle. It's going to be a lot of engaging, and if he's lucky, a few hits on the quarterback. If he's lucky, a few hits on the running back. But again, Albert Haynesworth is a guy who is a top-notch defensive tackle. And when motivated and when he's ready to prove something and when he's healthy. I mean, for the Titans, the year before he signed with the Redskins, he had a monster year. Albert Haynesworth had a monster year. So this is a guy who in some respect, he's a beast. And when motivated and when healthy. And those are the key things, motivation and healthiness. But like you said, I think Mike Shanahan may be playing a dangerous game here because he is a guy, Albert Haynesworth, who can help your team. He can help your team. And so if you have a guy who can help your team, you have to – I mean, I think in some respect he obviously wants him to you know, stand in line and basically let him know who the boss is. I mean, the boss is basically Mike Shanahan. I'm the boss. I'm Mike Shanahan. So, and I think that's what this is coming down to. And he wants to lay down the law, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. I mean, before he signed with the Redskins and when he was with the Titans, he had 8.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles. I mean, he had a very good year, the year before he signed with the Redskins. So, I mean, Albert has definitely proven that he can ball in this league. Hello, you don't go for it.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
There you go.
Hello? There we go.
Yes.
My comment or maybe even question is, do you think that maybe when he came to Washington and his downslide and his quote-unquote stats and productivity, do you think that has anything to do with the reason why Shanahan's taking it so seriously? Because he knows the capability that Haynesworth has, and you know, obviously, what they were doing with him last year wasn't really working.
Well, I mean, there could be some truth to that, but I think it's deeper than that. Like I said before, I think it's a situation where Haynesworth wants where Shanahan wants Albert Haynesworth to know who's the boss, and wants him to prove to him that he is in shape. And Albert did drop 30 pounds, but judging by what's going on with these sprints, he's not in football shape. And there's really no getting around that. The man is just not in football shape. But
so
at
do you
the
think
end of the day, I do think Shanahan does have a little axe to grind because Albert did hold out the mini camps and all the OTAs.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that he would have passed this quote-unquote test the last few years he's been in the league?
So you're saying before this year, do you think he would have passed the test?
But Paul, he could pass his test this year. I think there's a level of him now too that he, like you said, this is the first week of training camp. Who wants to be out there?
Right.
But I wouldn't. Failing his test, they're not finding him, are they, Paul? He's not getting fined. This is beautiful for him.
I guess it's a beautiful thing. I mean, he doesn't have to get hit in his hot summer weather. He doesn't have to put on the pads. I mean, he's in a shirt and shorts right now, and a lot of people love to be in a shirt and shorts in 90-plus degree weather. With the humidity, the way the humidity has been lately here in the Northeast. So I guess it's understandable. I guess Albert is getting the best of both worlds. He doesn't have to practice, and he's getting paid.
One more question.
The best of both worlds.
Hello? Wait, one more question. Do you think that, from what I'm hearing, is when he does pass the test, he'll be practicing with the second squad. Do you think that's not a slap in the face, or so to speak, or a spit in the face, so to speak? Like, now that you passed it, you can go with the second crew and run with them?
I just think it's just the way it's going now. I mean, the depth charts change throughout training camp, and obviously Albert may not come in as the starter, but when it's all said and done, he probably will be the starter. I mean, you're paying this guy all this money, and not only are you paying him a lot of money, but this guy has proven in the past that he can ball and that he can really get the job done. So I think right now he probably will, like you said, he probably will start out on the second team, but ultimately when it's all said and done, Albert Haynesworth will be the starting, if he's healthy, will be the starting nose tackle for the Washington Redskins in the 2010 NFL season. Anyway, thank you for your call.
Thank you. Love the show, guys.
Thank you.
So
Albert Haynesworth is right now. I said it before. It's kind of like Jay-Z and R. Kelly, man. It's the best of both worlds. The best of both worlds for Albert Haynesworth. And if I'm Albert Haynesworth, I'm loving life here. I just cashed a $20 million check. I'm loving life here, and I don't have to practice. I can stand there in a shorts and a T-shirt, and I don't have to practice with all the pads and the helmets and do any of the hitting. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing if you're Albert Haynesworth.
I would agree. I think, I think not just that, but I think the longer this drags on, the more and more you're actually going to see. I think people will become more sensitive to his plight in that, he's, to a certain degree, now he's going to be injured. He's trying. He wants to play. And then there's Shanahan, who's kind of coming off a little bit almost, I hate to use the word, too difficult. I mean, like you said, Paul, it's not going to be till a couple of times, and maybe, Haynesworth is smart enough to say it soon, which is he'll run 50, 100 yards all year. And all this conditioning, I mean, he gets paid to clog the line. He gets paid to be overweight. I mean, if he drops 100 pounds, I'm sure they're going to have a claim against him for, for jeopardizing his contract. So I just think there's a level of this that it's like a pissing contest.
That's a beautiful thing, too, to get paid to be fat.
Well, I mean, Paul.
Again, he did drop 30 pounds coming into the season. And I guess as of right now, he's just not in football shape. But, I mean, I think, like I said before, this is a guy who has proven to be a top-notch defensive tackle. He's a guy who played some DN for the Titans on past, obvious past situations. So he's a guy, man, who has proven that he can ball. I mean, you don't give a guy like him $41 million for no reason. There's a reason why $41 million. There's a reason why they gave him that money. There's a reason why they gave him that type of guaranteed money. It was a $100 million deal, but the $40 million, which is guaranteed. So there's a reason why he got that money. There's a reason why. There's no doubt about it. There's a reason why he got that money. And he deserves it. He earned it. Now, unlike a Matthew Stafford a year ago or even a Sam Bradford this season, but, I mean, the guy earned his money. Is he earning? He earned it up to this point, but has he earned it now? No, he's not earning it. But hey, you sign the deal that you sign, and you make the money that you make. But let me know what you think. If you have any thoughts on Albert Haynesworth, any thoughts on how much you make, whether you're underpaid or not, let us know. The number 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. Or you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. We'll switch gears to baseball now, specifically the Philadelphia Phillies. Right now they're 2.5 back of the Atlanta Braves going in today. They have an off day today. They play tomorrow, a 3-game set against the Florida Marlins. And this is a team that has battled injuries throughout. Yesterday, Brian Howard twisted his ankle. He's day-to-day. So you couple Howard's out. You have Utley's out. You have Shane Victorino who's out. You have a lot of guys, a lot of injuries on this team throughout. J-Roll has missed some time, and Jimmy Rollins, J-Roll. I mean, so with this ball club, with this Phillies ball club, somehow, some way, I mean, the closing situation is a mess. Brad Lynch blew a save Saturday night. I mean, the guy has not, ever since 48 for 48 in 2008, where he was perfect in save opportunities, this guy has fallen off big time. But somehow, some way, the Phillies have found a way to be only 2.5 out. With all that being said, without having a legitimate closer, without having Utley for a significant amount of time, without having Rollins for a significant amount of time, with Shane Victorino now out, with Polanco, who's missed time, Carlos Ruiz has missed time, the catcher. You have a lot of guys who have missed time, but somehow, some way, these guys have found a way to fight and claw, and they're 2.5 back. They still have some way to go, but they're in striking distance now of the Atlanta Braves. And I mean, you look at this Philly season, man, and it's a season where I think, in some respect, this team, it just may not be their year. You're thinking throughout that it may not be their year, all these injuries, all these things that have happened to them. You're thinking maybe it's not their year. But somehow, some way, again, they found a way to stay close, and they have added Roy Oswalt. So now with Oswalt and Hamels and Holiday, I mean, you have a pretty good top-of-the-line rotation. And so the top of the rotation is pretty solid with Hamels, Holiday, and Oswalt. So will the Phillies be able to get it done? Do they have enough? Do they have enough to get it over the top?
Well, they had enough last year, Paul. I mean, they had enough last year, and I was letting you go on because I mean, a lot of what you're saying, I agree with without interruption. I mean, the interesting thing is, there really wasn't a closer they can go out and get, and they got the pitcher everybody wanted. So in a lot of ways,
everyone that's critical of potentially the Phillies for not getting a closer, who are they really going to get? I mean, it's not like you're going to go out and trade for a closer who's not on the market. I mean, they got the best available, arguably the best available, trade that they could have made. But I do think
they didn't give a lot up. They didn't give a lot up to get Oswalt. They gave up. Well, they have a couple other prospects, but
Right. I mean, and I think they are getting a lot of players back, like you said. And I think being 2.5 games out, they're really not in the bottom line. They should have really been, they have lost games they really shouldn't have, and so on and so forth. But, and Lidge sucks. There's no question there. But who else is better than him that they could have gotten?
There is no alternative with Lidge. I mean, is it
right?
With Ryan Madsen, a guy who hasn't proven to, when given the role as a closer, he's a guy who struggled in that role. Do you throw maybe a Jose Contreras? I mean, a guy who hasn't been a closer on this level. I mean, he's been a starter most of his career. So, I mean, do you go with him? I mean, I guess it could be a closer by committee with Romero and Madsen, Contreras, and Lidge at this stage. But, again, if you're a guy, if you're a Phillies fan, I mean, granted, you're not happy about what has happened, but you're not upset either because it could be a lot worse. 2.5 games out, considering all the things that have happened, is not bad. And also, a lot of people have gone back to the point where you should have kept Cliff Lee. And I agree with that. I mean, Cliff Lee, if you had a rotation of Lee, Hamels, and Holiday, I mean, you're talking a scary rotation there.
Well, they were not keeping. They were never going to be able to keep.
If you added the salary that you brought with Oswalt, you could have kept Lee. This team could have kept Lee. They chose to try to rebuild their farm system. But they could have kept Cliff Lee. And this is a team right now, the way they are. This is a team that could be in the mix. I mean, they've been to the World Series these last 2 years. They won in 2008, lost last year. And this is a team that right now, this is a team with the pieces they have. Jason Worth probably will be gone next year. They don't want to get them, and they may not be able to afford to give the money to him. But you have to slide a guy like Dominic Brown in there, a stud. Many believe will be a stud and has proven to be a stud on the minor league level and just was recently called up and had a decent start to his career against the Diamondbacks. But anyway, if you replace Worth with Dominic Brown, you still have that outfit of Brown, Victorino, and Ibanez. You do lose something by losing Worth, but Dominic Brown may be able to replace him. You still have Polanco, J-Roll, and Utley and Howard in your infield, and you got Carlos Ruiz as your catcher. So you're pretty set in terms of your team. So I think Ruben Amaro.
Yeah, but you know what, Paul? I'll caution everyone, and we've heard a lot of they should have traded, and people still out there saying they should trade or thought about trading for Worth. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I really think people better think long and hard, about the notion of trading a guy like Worth. I mean, you say you're going to lose something, or you're going to lose more than a lot, Paul. You're going to lose a guy who last year pretty much single-handedly carried you in the playoffs when a lot of players were slumping.
He's going to be a free agent this offseason. So, and he's going to command a lot of money. He's going to get paid,
and he'll probably be getting paid,
elsewhere
through the. Paul, don't be so quick. Don't be so quick to say that. Not all the time.
But judging by what's going on with this ball club, I can't see them paying Worth the money. You can't pay everybody. You're not the Yankees. And so you're not going to have the payroll of the Yankees. But at the same time, I mean, Jason Worth is a guy that they're going to miss. But they may not miss as much if Dominic Brown is who they think he is. So it may not be that bad of a loss. It's going to be a loss, but it may not be as bad as people may think. But it's going to be bad. It's going to be something, but it may not be bad. I mean, Jason Worth has the potential. Jason Worth has had some solid seasons, and he has proven to be a very good hitter.
So I think, but again, Bob, and I caution. I just think that at some level, if anything, this season or where it's really going to matter the most is getting a very, very clear understanding that, that at some level this team failed themselves. This year, it was not about, you know, could they have gotten this player or could they have gotten that player? Could they have traded this player? Could they have signed that player? They got everyone they were going to get that was on the market. They got the most bang, quote-unquote, for their buck. But they lost some games this season that I think it, when it's all said and done, should they, God forbid, not make the playoffs or certainly get a lower seed, they have only themselves to blame, especially this club. Yes, injuries played a role, but due in large part, the core was still there and should have won most of these games that they're losing. And look, they like just the last series, they lost, you know, 2 out of 3. And I mean, yeah, Lidge was the problem, but again, that's a player problem. I mean, Lidge was, when they signed him, he was premier, you know, people forget, he was the premier closer in the game, and it's only been, he's only been here, what, three, this is his fourth year. So it's not that far removed. Oh, excuse me, his third year, right. And I think not that far removed, and I think he's, you know, he's hit the wall, and only he's going to change that.
Well, last year he was a guy who was banged up, and maybe you could have made the argument that injuries was the reason that Brad Lidge wasn't the same Brad Lidge that he was in 2008 when he was perfect. When he had the perfect season, 48 for 48, and save opportunities. But I mean, we heard the talk all this offseason that Lidge was back. He physically felt good and he was ready to go. We heard that throughout the offseason that he was ready to go. But as we've seen to this point, Brad Lidge, it's scary. It's a scary proposition when you have this guy on the mound, and it's scary when he goes out on the mound. I mean, I'm afraid. I'm afraid when I see Lidge, as a Phillies fan, I'm afraid when I see Brad Lidge step onto the mound. I really am.
Well, I think at some point too, you know, Emmanuel's got a. He's got a look. Madsen will be back. He's coming back shortly from the injury, but you know, at some level, they may really at some point need to think about, you know, keep giving him some rest and coming out and saying, Paul, go ahead. You were interrupting me.
I was just saying, Madsen is back. But
he's back, but he's not in. He's not gonna. I don't think put him in the closer role.
He's proven that he cannot close.
Well, he doesn't want to close, and but he doesn't. But here's again.
He's not a closer.
Well, Paul, but if you listen to what, he says, he also doesn't want to be a closer, and that's why I say I think, you know, at some point some of these guys, like Madsen's look, I think he's lucky to be getting a paycheck, but you know, that was, we already covered that topic.
He has proven that he's a decent setup guy. He's proven that. But in terms of a closing situation, the guy has proven that he can't get the job done. He has 3 blown saves for the Phillies and 7 opportunities. So he's proven that he can't close. And you look at Lidge and 15 opportunities, blown 4 saves. Not good. Not good. Not good if you're Brad Lidge. Not a good situation. Not good at all, and he had 42 save opportunities in 2009, talking about Brad Lidge. He blew 11 of them. 11 blown saves. Again, not a good situation there. It's not good. But again, you hoped that going into this year that the guy would have been better. You hoped that it was just an injury situation, and part of it was a little mental situation, and that he got through all that, and he was ready to go back to the 2008 Brad Lidge. And granted, 2008 was just one of those perfect years in some respect. It was, everything kind of just fell into place for the Phillies, and Brad Lidge was 48 for 48. I mean, he was perfect. He was perfect back in 2008. But now he's fallen off a little bit, and we'll see what happens with Lidge, and we'll see what happens with the Phillies. But as of right now, they are 2.5 games back. And if you have any thoughts on the Phillies or anything else we have talked about today, numbers to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com, /pGann. That's blogtalkradio.com/pGann. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, in terms of switching gears to entertainment, I mean, a lot of people were married this weekend. You had Alicia Keys, who got married this weekend, the Swiss Beats, and you had T.I., who got married to Tiny from Escape, and you also had Chelsea Clinton, who got married in Rhinebeck, New York. So you had
three. I think also, Paul, I think it was who Natalie Merchant got married, and her wedding, I think it was, that song that she danced with her husband. The first dance was, Does Anyone Care? Does anyone care?
And then you had Paul Gant 4 years ago, who was married on July 29th.
let's get that dance out there.
I mean, this has been a beautiful time to get married. And some of our celebrities have jumped the broom this weekend. And hopefully it's good times for them. And hopefully they'll make it 4 years. Like, I have made it. And hopefully
any advice out there for people who tell you, how long is 4 years, Paul?
Well, 4 years is a long time. It's a long time, but it's not a lifetime. I've still got some work to do. I still got to stay on my grind, so to speak, and continue to keep fighting and continuing to make this thing happen so I can be a success story.
Another last question, and I'll certainly let you go. I don't want to keep you too long on one topic, but big question I'm sure a lot of listeners like to know is, who's in charge up there, Who is in charge? Talk to us about who takes charge, Paul, and your views on taking charge.
Well, in terms of taking charge, I mean, the man is the head of any household, and therefore the man is in charge.
The man is in charge of any household. Is that right? We can quote you on that?
Supposed to be.
That's not what I said.
I'll say supposed to be. I mean, I can't speak for every other man and speak for every household. I don't live in everybody's household. I mean, I don't live in your house, so I don't know. As far as I know, you could be cooking and cleaning everything up all the time.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I got some things to do.
I mean, so who knows? Who knows? But I mean, again, congratulations to those guys who again have jumped the broom, and wish them nothing but the best of luck in their particular situations. You had Tariq Evans, Rookie of the Year, Sacramento Kings. Well, Tariq likes his speed. There was a video released by the California Highway Patrol that shows Tariq Evans speeding past vehicles on Interstate 80 in California and with his purple Mercedes. So he definitely draws attention to himself with that. And according to the video, he was driving 120 to 130 miles per hour. He eventually was arrested at gunpoint, and police say that Evans may have been racing other vehicles. Attorneys say he will plead no contest, so we'll see what happens. He was sentenced to 80 hours of community service, and will also take part in machine driving programs, and he's lost his license for 30 days. So, Tariq, slow him down, man. Slow it down. Yes, for trouble. Slow it down. Come on.
Well,
you
got guaranteed, Paul, when you got guaranteed money.
I guess that's what happens.
We got money to burn.
Literally. I mean, if Tariq, if you're going to go 120, 130 miles per hour, maybe you don't do it in a purple car. Maybe you don't do it in a purple Mercedes. Maybe that's not the right thing to do. But
who's stopping you, Paul? Who's stopping him?
Well, you hope Tariq will have learned his lesson. He is only 20
he
years
won't.
Old. You hope that
he won't.
I can't say that again. You hope Tariq learns his lesson.
He won't.
20 years old. And you hope that he'll grow up and
he won't
get this thing right. And you know.
How can you grow up when you're paid, man? This is America. Bounce a ball, catch a ball, throw a ball. You are paid.
Yeah, you
mama,
are.
Mama, don't let your you know, mama. Don't let your boys grow up to be businessmen. Paul, you said it.
Everybody who called, again, listen to past shows at blogtalkradio.com/begin. That's blogtalkradio.com/begin. And stay tuned. Wednesday show. Take a listen. 9 o'clock. Everybody take care. Bye.